James chapter 1. Good news, we'll be finishing the book of James chapter 1 tonight. Seem a little excited about that, Brother Rice. If I'm not careful, I'll take that personally. James chapter 1. Enjoyed studying the book of James. Thank you for praying for Mr. Colopy. Miss Amy, can you give us just an update of how he's doing and what happened this afternoon and all that?
Okay, but he's home.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, good. I'm glad he's home, and I think it was a wise thing for you to take him in. I hope you had a nice afternoon, and good to see you back. We're excited about the Martinez family joining Walker Bible Baptist Church, and that is a great blessing and membership. We're excited for... did anybody here... the Catrones come home today? They did? All right, great. And that's what the rose on the organ is, or on the piano is for. Little Zipporah. Zipporah. What a cutie. If you get a chance to see that one's cute. And they're all cute, but that one's... got to be careful. All right. That one's cute. And so praise the Lord for that. As I told you, maybe Don will share this a little bit, but Miss Maysoon was having some complications, and he was, for about an hour, really nervous about her health, and seemed pretty serious. And thankfully, all is well, and baby's well, and mom's doing well, and thankfully they came home today to recover. James chapter 1. Excited about baptism. We got a bunch of people looking to get baptized. A bunch of young people tonight. And so we are thankful for that. James chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you. Thank you for the change that you've made in our life. God, I'm thankful that you not only gave us a home in heaven, but you've made this life more abundantly. And Lord, there is joy associated with our day-to-day living, and I'm thankful. God, thankful for the change you've made in us. And God, as we open up your word tonight, God, I pray that you'd help us to see the value of your word, the value of not just being a hearer, but a doer of your word. That we'd not just be a bystander, but God, we'd be involved. And Lord, help us to do those things. Lord, we do love you and we are thankful for this opportunity tonight. And as many a victory will happen tonight, Lord, we're thankful again for just your gentle and kind nature about you. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, thank you that you're so quick to forgive us. And Lord, may we also take from that trait and be forgiving of others. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the Hodges with us tonight, a bunch of them. So praise the Lord. I believe they're here to see some family get wet tonight after. And we'll talk a little bit about that towards the end of service. James chapter 1 and verse 22. We see this comparison three times in this passage spoken of directly. Doers and hearers. The scripture doesn't say very good things about the hearer of the word. Say, well, what's wrong with hearing the word of God? Well, it seems like the hearer, by being identified here, kind of limits it to just hearing. Kind of draws the line in the sand and says, this is about as far as I'm going to go. But the doer takes the principles of the Word of God and applies them to their life. And as we just heard, allows God to change them. As we look at this passage, we compare the hearer and the doer. And in verse 22, it says this of the hearer, that they are deceived. Well, that's dangerous. How many of you like to be deceived? Anybody like to be lied to? No. Here, the hearer of the Word of God, say, how could they be deceived? They're hearing the Word of God. They're deceiving themselves. They're deceiving themselves. It says, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You're not tricking anybody, you're just tricking yourself. Because what is happening here is that the Word of God is going in, and that's as far as it happens. I just listen. And I don't know how it gets dismissed. Maybe it's self-righteousness. Maybe it's a critical eye or a critical spirit saying something of this. I don't need this. This is for somebody else. I'm all good. I'm all clean. I'm right where God wants me. And the Bible, if in no greater terms, just pretty much says, you fool. You fool. You're hearing it, but you're not making any application to it. Can I dare say in our Christian circles, this would be a danger that could certainly be seen. We come to church a bunch of times. And if we count the hours a week that we're here, it's many. And we hear a lot of preaching. We hear a lot of the Word of God. And yes, it's important to come to church. Are you saying we don't come to church? No, but I'm saying let's not limit it to just hearing the Word of God. Because if we walk away saying, yeah, that message wasn't for me, no, you'd be hard-pressed to listen to a Bible-preached message and not get something that you can make application from. Now, I understand not every message touches exactly, but there ought to be something in a message. The Word of God can make application to your life. We should never walk away going, yeah, that just wasn't for me this morning. As I heard the Word of God, as I read my Bible today, nothing really jumped off the page to me. Do you see, that's what a hearer is. They're deceived. But they're not deceived by the Word of God, they've deceived them own selves. Look at verse 23, it says this. For if any be a hearer of the Word, telling me that they're in the proximity to hear the Word of God, that's good. But again, limiting it. There's no change, there's no service, there's no discipleship. And look at the result. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, look at what it says, forgetteth what manner of man he was. The things he even hears, he simply forgets when he walks away. Why? Because no application has been made. So many times in school, we our learning is cyclical learning, meaning you'll be introduced to a concept, and it's a first time you hear it or see it, it's somewhat simple. But the next time it comes around, it gets a little bit harder. And the next time after that, it gets a little bit harder and a little bit harder. And if you hadn't learned it early on, man, it sure does make difficult later on when they're really building upon it. And sometimes I wonder if we treat the Word of God the same way. I wonder if one day we're going to stand before God and God's going to say, hey, why didn't you do anything? Well, are we going to tell God that we just forgot what He said? And here, this is what happens. He has forgotten what manner of man he was. Forgot where he came from. Forgot the change that God made in their life. And they were simply a hearer of the Word, but nothing took root. You see the danger of that? Yes, it's good to be in church. Yes, it's good to read your Bible. It's good to listen. I don't know what you'd use with your smartphones these days, but they have excellent apps for to listen to great sermons. It's easy to listen to good preaching now. Remember the old days, Chris, when we'd have to send away for those tapes? What was that? Something mountain. Mount Olive Baptist Church. Whatever. They would send away for tapes, and we'd get tapes, and I still have some of those. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But in 1 second, I can listen to a message. We were at a conference, and the man that was preaching, he was excellent. I thought, I wonder if he's ever preached this before. So while he's finishing his message, I'm Googling. And sure enough, came up on YouTube. Here it is, the name of the message. Wow. Instantaneous. We have no lack of good preaching. But are we a hearer only? Or have we made application? That's the difference. A hearer versus a doer. Let's look at a doer now. In verse 25, it says this. Not only hearing, but doing the word of God. In verse 25, it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. See, the hearer forgot what he heard, but because the doer made application of the things that they heard, well, now it's who they are. And it's no longer a forgetful thing. It's what it is that they do. And we are known by not what we have heard, but what we do. Your job, your title is indicative of what you do. Brother McDowell teaches high school. Therefore, Mr. McDowell, on a regular basis, is teaching lessons to high school students. I'm a doer of the Word of God. Therefore, I've made application now. I've taken the things that I've heard and I've applied them. And look at what it says. It says, but a doer now of the work. I'm not just a hearer of the Word, but I'm a doer of the work of God. What a difference. What a difference. This is where it becomes real. It begins to define us. In verse 25, we see a commitment to it. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Ever look in the mirror and go, whew, didn't like that. But I'm going to stick with it and I'm going to see what I can do to make it look nice. Hey, you know what? Sometimes we open up the Word of God and we don't like what it says. We read some powerful passages this past week. Very pointed passages in the Word of God. And we can go, ah, that's tough. I don't like that. Yeah, but those that stick with it, those that keep their face in it, those that continue therein, there's a commitment. See, a hearer just has been deceived. There's no change, there's no service, there's no discipleship, and they forget what they hear. A doer of the Word is honest before God, has made a commitment, has shown humility. And look at the end of verse 25. This man shall be blessed in his deed. I love how God sees us trying. He might say, I know that wasn't done perfectly, but I see what you're trying to do there. I'm just going to bless you for your efforts. Aren't you thankful that God blesses not based on results, but on effort? Doing the best I can. I know I'm a flawed work here, but I'm trying to serve you as best I can. And God says, I'll take that. I'm pleased with that. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Why? Because he's not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the work. John chapter 6 tonight, if we can turn over there. Everybody doing okay? Staying awake? It's nice and cozy warm in here. Is it too warm? I'm warm, but you can... Yeah. I'm always warm, though. Where's Savannah, warm or cold? It's just fine. All right. John chapter 6. We'll read verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Sounds like what we just read, right? Here we are, we're looking in the perfect law of liberty, and we're going to continue therein. Many of his disciples heard the hard saying and said, "I don't know." When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" So right now they're just hearers of the word. And there's a little mumblings and murmurings and griping about the difficult things that they just heard. Christ asked them, "What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Now look at verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." I'm not sure I like that. I kind of like my flesh. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He says, here's the thing. It's time to make a commitment. Are you with me or not? You're going to have to let go of some comforts. You're going to need to follow me now. Are you in? You've heard it, but now it's time to become a doer. But there were some of you that believed not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Look at verse 66. "From that time, many of Jesus Christ's disciples went back and walked no more with him." Why? Because it was time to start doing. Why back away? Why? Because Christ was asking for the transfer of being a hearer to a doer. And even some of Christ's disciples said, "I'm sorry, I can't. I just love my flesh too much," is what they said. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. It's a young man here in verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said, "Let's see if he's a doer." And said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." He's heard about the commandments all his life. Now he's met the Christ who said, "All right, let's be a doer of the work now." And he was sad at the very saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Same thing that we saw in John chapter 6. "I'm sorry, I can no longer follow you. I like my stuff too much. It's all about me." And that's the difference between a hearer and a doer. You can come in hearing the word of God week after week after week, yet no change, no service, no commitment, no humility, no blessings. See, the doer of the word of God is honest before God, is committed to the work of God has a humble heart and receives the blessings of God. Understand this, that our physical life and our spiritual life are parallel. And how one goes, the other goes. Go back to James chapter 1. I don't know who supplies the water, but I am thankful for it. Can I just say? James chapter 1 and verse 26. He's going to give some examples of doers. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There's the hearer. Didn't get into the heart. Didn't change anything. Made the outside look good, but has no control over himself. Again, our physical and spiritual disciplines are directly parallel. Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. Pure religion, undefiled. Look at what it says before God. See, that's how we ought to serve the Lord. We ought to serve God. We ought to be a doer of the work of God, doing as if in the presence of God Himself. See what it said there? Pure religion and undefiled before God. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm about to do something great. In the quietness of stillness, are we trying to get God's attention? Pure religion and undefiled before God. And He gives us these great examples. I love this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. Say, why the fatherless and the widows? Because most times they have no way to repay. It is simply doing the work of God. Look at Exodus chapter 22. We'll look at two verses about that thought. This is doing in action. What does it look like to be doing? Exodus chapter 22. You were praying for Autumn this week. How's Miss Autumn? Haven't heard anything new. If you haven't heard, Miss Autumn had some complications. She's been in the hospital. She's on antibiotics now, and she's going to have to be in the hospital for about a week. Is that right? Just making sure the antibiotics are working. Pray for Miss Autumn. She's over at Strong. Can she have visitors? Yeah, all right. If you have any questions about that, see Miss Calliope. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 22, it says this, "Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If any afflict them in any wise, and they cry out, or cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry." God says, you mess with these two groups of people, and I myself will take an interest in their situation. And on the other side, I just wonder what heaven's going to be like when all those, when these are all gathered around and Christ calls out all those that were a blessing to these and says, thank you. Thank you for doing what I asked you to do. There's two sides to every law. There's the negative. We're picking a fight with a pretty strong father. But on the other side, you can't care for these and not get noticed by God Himself. Psalm chapter 82. Psalm Psalm chapter 82 and verse 3. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Defend them, it says. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. What's it look like to be a doer of the work of God? Well, finding out what God cherishes and getting involved in that. Lastly, keep pure. Look at Galatians chapter 5 tonight. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says this. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. But faith which worketh by love. So what does that have to do with anything? James chapter 1 and verse 27 where it said, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Say, how do you want me to live here? I want you to live by faith, which worketh by love. That's how we stay pure. As we read James chapter 1, we went through and to subdue lusts is to keep himself unspotted from the world. To walk by faith, to work by love, to say no to sin, to obey the commands of God. Look at 1 John chapter 2. We'll end with these three verses. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. Chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. What does it mean to keep pure? It means to walk by faith, work by love, subdue sin, and obey the commandments of God. And here we're told in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. This is proof of our love to God, that we do what he tells us to do. And his commandments are not grievous. We have a bunch of children in here. And I do believe you love your parents. And as much as they love homemade cards and little treats and smiles and all that, what's real proof of your love for them is that you do what they've asked you to do. It's a beautiful picture of us and God. How could a child be so defiant against a parent and then yet say, I love you? We would question that. How could you love me and yet never do what I've asked you to do? God says the same thing. Do you really love me if you don't do what I ask you to do? Obedience to God's commandments. Our very last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Not just be a hearer of the word of God, but a doer. So what are you tonight? Well, I come to church all the time. But are you a doer of His Word? Are you a doer of His work? I'm not just saying working in the nursery, but allowing God to change you. Action. To be pure before Him. Walking by faith, working by love, saying no to sin, obeying His commands. That's a doer. In the New Testament, we saw multiple examples. There were some that could only go so far, and they just said, nah, that's where I draw the line. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to walk away. And they always went away sorrowful. Why? Because they chose to love their sin more than God. May we not be guilty of the same thing. In a few minutes, we're going to go out there and assemble around a, I don't even know what they call it, a baptismal. That's what we're going to call it. And we're excited about that. And we have some young people that have, in their heart said, I got saved and I want the world to know. See, a saved person looks exactly like the lost person on the outside. You can't tell. You can't see the heart. So baptism is a public profession of what Jesus Christ did in their life. Baptism does not save you. If you go into the waters with sin, well, you know what? You're going to come out a wet sinner. That's it. That's how it goes. But it is evidence that you've been saved. Someone asked me, if someone gets saved but didn't get baptized, will they go to heaven? Yes. Yes, they will. So how do you know that? There was a thief on the cross one day, and Christ said, today you'll be with me in paradise, never having tasted the waters. And Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch is there with Philip, and he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he says, believe. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he says, stop the chariot, let's get out. And that's exactly what he says. And they got out and got baptized. Romans chapter 6 tonight, can you look there? You said this was the last verse. Yeah, but this is the baptism lesson now. James 1 is done. In the books. Romans chapter 1, we'll just read a couple of verses. It's still early. It's only like 12 after 7. We're good. We got plenty of time. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's the picture of baptism. The death, burial, and resurrection. Wait, buried in likeness of Christ's death? Raised in likeness of His resurrection? You'll hear those exact words. But the key point is this. So we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism is a big decision. It's a big decision because that's willfully saying, I want the world to know that I've been saved and I want to live differently. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Because the old man is dead now. I'll even show you what it looked like. Whoosh. Buried in the likeness of Christ's death. Raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Baptism. In obedience. First step of obedience. We do immersion. That's where the in straightway they came out of the water. It's tough to straightway come out of the water when you're getting sprinkled. It is. We don't baptize babies. Why not? Because they are unable to be saved. Say, how so? Because they cannot make a decision towards Christ in themselves. But the minute we'll have, I think Aaron might be our youngest. How old's Aaron? 8. Anybody younger than 8 getting baptized tonight? All right. 8. Eddie. Yeah. Next time, Eddie, maybe. And, but 8. 8's young. But you're going to hear, I'm going to ask them each to share their testimony. Because the only prerequisite to being baptized is to be saved. So we're going to hear all about that tonight. I pray that it's going to be an encouragement to you. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Don't forget about the doer and hearer message. Next week, Lord willing, start on James chapter 2. Do want to invite our young adults to stick around after the baptism. We got some snacks, and we're going to play a new game in the gym, so we're excited about that. Let's see. Mr. Chris Buck, can you dismiss us in prayer tonight?